Hi, my name is Ella Ahonen, and in this video I will read you a text by a doctoral student about how they created data for their doctoral research. So the topic of the video is creating ethnographic data. My doctoral research focused on the processes of creative writing. I was interested in how the concepts of ritual and play can be applied in the context of creative writing. My academic background is in folkloristics, which means the study of cultures, groups, and traditions. I was also influenced by artistic research, which foregrounds art and creative work as research methodologies. So I applied ethnographic and artistic methods in producing data for my research. Now I will tell you how I applied two ethnographic methods, participant observation and interviews. To find out how my central concepts resonate with other writers, I formed a writers' group. We got together about once a month to write together and talk about the process. I also interviewed some of the writers individually. Creating my own data instead of using existing data, such as archived collections, for example, was an important part of my research process. I was interested in the concrete and particular contexts where creative writers work. I wanted to find out how the concepts of ritual and play can be used to both analyze and enrich the writing process. I don't think I could have found existing data that addressed my research questions and methodological interests. Coming up with a way to study the creative writing process this way turned out to be an important contribution of my study. So data production in my research was a matter of making, of creation. I don't believe my research material was there just waiting to be collected. Instead, it was formed in an active process of communication among and between myself and the research participants. And yes, I also talk about research participants rather than informants, for example, because I see them producing data with me instead of somehow storing it in themselves. Participant observation. In the writers' group meetings, we experimented with various methods of creating fictional texts. I had thought of a theme and an outline for what we would do, and the writers responded in their own ways. We mostly met in a rehearsal studio space that has black walls and no tables. It was purposefully different from a standard university seminar room, for example. So we would often end up sitting on the floor with our notebooks, sometimes doing things like drawing or yoga or dancing before we started writing. Participant observation is a core method of ethnographic research, but there are many ways of doing it. It can be thought of as a continuum where at the one end, the researcher is an outsider observing a group of people, and at the other end, the researcher is a full-on participant in the group. My version of participant observation was restricted to the writing group meetings. I did not observe the writers in their lives outside the meetings. I was definitely more of a participant than an observer because I always took part in all the activities. However, I also tried to keep an eye out for the general mood and social details of the meeting, how the writers used the space or interacted with each other, etc. For this purpose, I made notes that often interrupted the fictional text I was writing. Needless to say, it got messy. But in the tradition of experimental ethnography my study builds on, the connections between writing fiction and writing ethnography are acknowledged and analysed. There are many ethical issues to consider when doing participant observation. Are the people observed aware of being observed? And how will that affect their behaviour? How reliable is the data? How do the researchers' personality and personal biases affect what they are able to see? Research ethics is not only about following a set of prescribed rules, but an ongoing process of reflection. Throughout the research, I asked questions like, what kind of encounters am I facilitating? How are my research questions and interests affecting the research participants? What are they getting out of this? How can I write my research in a way that does credit to the individual voices of my research participants and yet takes care of their anonymity? Finding at least partial answers to these questions was an important part of my study. As mentioned, I also produced data by doing interviews. As with participant observation, there are many ways to conduct interviews, ranging from formal interviews with fixed questions to more open-ended and conversational ones. After each writers' group meeting, we talked about how the prompts we had been writing from had worked for us, what kind of choices we had made in creating our texts, how the writing had felt, and what kind of things had affected it. We often also read parts of the texts aloud at the request of the writers themselves. I call these discussions thematic group interviews, but they were more like conversations about creative writing. Some people talked more than others, and it wasn't always easy to make sure everyone could be involved and give their opinion without creating some kind of pressure to talk. That was one of the reasons why I also interviewed some of the writers individually. For these individual interviews, I had a list of themes to talk about. I shared the lists with the writers in advance. The interviews are still very different from each other, as each writer highlighted different things. And for me, it was also important to allow the conversation to flow naturally. I think an interview is always a delicate, intimate situation where the researcher needs to be sensitive to the various power relations involved. It is also important to remember that the researcher is also a human being who is affected by doing research. To keep my research ethically sound, I did my best to make sure my research participants were always aware of what happened to the material they shared with me. At the beginning of the research process, I shared my research plan, and as the interview data was archived, I also talked about the archiving practices at the beginning of each interview. The writers also signed an agreement for the archiving of the interview. I recorded both the group and the individual interviews with a Zoom recorder, which is not the same thing as the video call program, but a small recording device. Naturally, I always asked for permission to record and let the writers know when I began recording. I also shut down the recorder if I was asked to. I transferred the sound files from WAV to MP3 for smaller size. This could be done with a Zoom device, so there was no need to download the files on a computer first. I then stored the files on the online hard drive of the university. These files were later saved to the archive. I use pseudonyms of all the writers, and I've done my best to make sure they're not recognizable in my text, or at the very least, that I do not share anything that might harm them. However, complete anonymity is not possible. Ethnographic research texts use a lot of interview quotes, and people might be recognizable from the way they speak, for example. On the other hand, total anonymity is not always even desired by the research participants. Doing my research, I sometimes got the feeling that some of the writers might even prefer to be recognizable. I just could not give them this sort of visibility, as it was not agreed on by the entire group. However, we agreed that I could use whatever material they chose to share in the meetings. Because my research focuses on the writing process rather than its outcomes, I do not analyze the texts they share with me, but sometimes cite parts of them when meaningful to the overall analysis. All in all, creating ethnographic data about creative writing turned out to be an interesting adventure, where I could never be quite sure what would happen next. It made the entire research process even more personal, which in turn required a lot of reflection. This was sometimes tiring, but definitely worth the effort. Although time-taking and demanding in many ways, I think ethnography is a great method for doing research on cultural meanings and practices.